Well, I think you all know how much I just love Pastor Farouk, and I always just get something out of his devotionals. I'm really looking forward to tonight, brother. We've been praying for you. Come and preach to us.
Good evening, everyone. It is always exciting to open the Word of God for you. So I'm going to read a few verses from the Bible. So if you would open your Bible in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It's a very famous passage called Beatitudes, starting from verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciple came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Our loving God, our merciful Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you very much for coming to this earth to save us. Thank you very much for speaking to us in our own language. Lord, we pray that as we are ready to listen your voice, help us to concentrate, help us to focus, help us to understand. Let our mind and thoughts not be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen. Long time ago in January 2020, I started reading the Bible in English. And the first thing which touched me very much in a very different way was the Beatitude. So I thought I should start doing my devotional from Matthew chapter 5. So I started with, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And the second one I did, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And today we are looking at the third one, which is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the middle, I took a pause to preach two devotions about quarantine, and I'm glad I'm back to where I paused. Yeah. So the Beatitude is, I believe it's one of the most famous passage in the Bible. You can see people have wall decorations. People, Sunday school kids, they memorize it. I did when I was young in Sunday school. But there is so much in the Beatitude which is misunderstood or misinterpreted. Yeah, that's true. And I believe that if we understand these Beatitudes in the exact way in which Jesus taught his disciples, we will be blessed and the Lord will give us his the understanding of his person in different way, in which we have never thought before. And this is, I'm saying this from my personal experience. When I heard about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, I was a little bit surprised and shocked, because you will never say that a mourning person is blessed. You will never say, to put it in simple way, blessed is he who cries. Well, you never say that the crying person is blessed, because we have a very negative interpretation of the blessing. To us, to the world, the blessing is everything you gain, everything is which makes you happy. And sad to say, some of the Bible translations have word happy instead of bless. But to our surprise and for our learning, happy is not the appropriate translation for the word which used by Jesus.
That's right.
Because the opposite of happy is unhappy, but the opposite of blessed is cursed. So they are two words which are very much different from one another. So I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ used the word blessed, he was not just saying happy.
Yeah, amen.
But he was saying blessed, which has totally different meaning from being happy, being smiling or laughing,
right,
or making merry.
That's right.
So this is not what Jesus was. Well, Jesus used the word which was very, very different from the happiness, and that's makarios. Makarios, the Greek word he used, and this word was used only for the gods. Only for the gods, because they believed that the gods are the people who have achieved a state of happiness where they always stay happy in spite of the circumstances. I mean, nothing can influence their happiness. They stay happy. And the second people of people for whom this word was used, they were dead people. Word makarios was used for dead people. Somebody who's died and now he's gone in heaven and living with gods. And he's free from pain, he's free from worries, he's free from deficiencies. So nothing makes him unhappy. So he's makarios. And there was another group of people for which this word was used, and that was the upper class of the society. They are makarios because they have good wife, good life, good children, and they have wealth. Everything is available to them to make them happy. But when Jesus Christ was using this word makarios, he used it for those who are crying, who are mourning, who are poor in spirit. And most astonishingly, for meek people.
Yeah, that's really good.
For meek people. I saw some pictures on the internet just to have the idea, what does this word meek mean? And I just found this picture on the internet. Just take a few seconds, look at this picture and read the caption. So what does the picture appear in your mind when you think about meek? There is one more picture before we go ahead. Just read the caption and think about the meaning, meek. Just one more. Somebody said meek will inherit the earth, but they will need politicians to rule it. Why? Why are these jokes being made on the internet and told to everybody else? What does the meek mean? It means that the word has been misinterpreted, wrongly understood. Wrongly understood. I was learning this word, and I went to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and according to this Webster dictionary, meek means weak in all ways, physically, emotionally. And it says enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Another example they gave, mild, meek child dominated by his brothers, deficient in spirit and courage. Now, before we go further on, let me ask you a question. What if this was the true definition of meek? How would you imagine the history of Christian religion if this was the true definition of meek, which Jesus said blessed are the meek. Now, if this was the real definition of word meek, our history will be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because the Christian in first century, they were not meek in the sense of what I just showed you, these pictures.
That's true.
In the first century, Christians were the most disloyal people. The most disobedient people to the government, to the high officials, to the authorities. You can't call them meek. Because they always disobeyed. They were told, stop preaching. They said, no, we will preach. They said, stop calling Jesus Lord. They said, no, we will call him Lord. Now, if the first century Christians were meek in this sense, they would say, yes, Jesus is lesser Lord, and Caesar is bigger Lord, greater Lord. The word meek has been misinterpreted and misunderstood in our world. It's very sad. When Jesus was using this word, he was using it in a very, very powerful way. He didn't mean somebody who can be dominated by anybody. When Jesus was saying, blessed are the meek, he was not saying somebody who's fragile, somebody who's wimpy or weak in all ways. No. When Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, he was not talking about weak people.
That's right.
Because if you entrust the earth in the hand of weak people, somebody else will come and snatch from them.
That's right.
Right? I asked Tareem, what is your opinion about meek? She said, I am not meek. Because she thinks that meek means somebody who's weak. Meek is somebody who can be dominated by others. So what is the meaning of meek? What does Jesus mean when he was talking about meek people and saying that blessed are meek, for they will inherit the earth, which means they will be given earth to rule it, to make it the way God wanted the earth to look like. Okay, the word meek is used only 4 times in the New Testament. Only 4 times. 3 times it's used for Jesus, and 4th time it's used for the woman. So they will beautify themselves with the weak, with the ornament of meekness. First time, as I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are meek. Second time it's in Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, I am meek and lowly in heart. Third time is Matthew 21, verse 5. Thy king cometh unto thee meek, because he's riding on an ass. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So what is meek? Biblical meaning of meek. The word which Jesus used is very significant and can never be translated, interpreted any other way. The word was used pros, and interestingly, it was borrowed from the military. And it relates to the horse training. The Greek army would find the wildest horses in the mountain and bring them to be broken in. After months of training these wild horses, they will categorize these horses. Some were categorized to carry the burden somewhere in the category to do small duties. And very few of those horses were graduate to be a war horse. And if a horse has passed all the conditions to be a war horse, he was called Paros.
Praise the Lord.
Which means meek. It's exactly the same term which is used for war horse, Jesus is saying. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The war horse had a power under authority. His strength was under control. A war horse never ceased to be determined, strong, passionate, but it learned to bring its nature under discipline. When a war horse became froze, meek, it gave up being wild, unruly, out of control, and rebellious. A horse learned to bring that nature under control. Now it would respond to the slightest touch of the rider. When a war horse is ridden by his rider, rider doesn't have to shout. He doesn't shout. He just give a slight touch to the horse, and horse just runs to the battle. And the rider doesn't have to shout at his horse to stop him. He just whispers. And this is he is trained for. And when Jesus was talking about meek people, he was using this word which is used for a war horse who has been trained. Let me see this picture. Wild horse trained to go in war. Now this horse is meek. He's meek because he has two significant qualities. He recognized the touch of his rider, and he recognized the whisper of his rider. If you have a war horse in that time, in Jesus' time, in the middle of the night, if you whisper your horse, he will run to you, straight to you without stumbling, because he can see in the night. His night vision is so much better. So, who is meek? Not somebody who is weak. Somebody who has a strength, but his strength is under God's control.
Yeah, amen.
Somebody whose strength and authority under God's control. So when Jesus said, meek shall inherit the earth, he is talking about the people who are experienced, who are trained by God himself.
Yeah.
He's not talking about weak people. He's not talking about the people who can be dominated by anybody. No. He's talking about meek people. There are some people who are called meek in the Bible. We'll look at their life and try to find out why they were called meek. First of all, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the most powerful, the most authoritative person in the Bible. The most powerful.
Yeah.
But yet, you read his life, he was being nailed, he was being slapped, he was being abused, he was made jokes. People made jokes on him, people slapped him, and he did nothing. The Bible says that he was powerful enough to call on angels to fight for him. He didn't do it. Why? Because his power was under control of his father. Do you remember 12 years old daughter? His father's name was Jairus. And Jairus was a Pharisee. A group of people who were always talking against Jesus, and always there was always confrontation between Pharisees and Jesus Christ. He approached Jesus, "Hey, my daughter is dying. Would you come?" Jesus didn't say no. He went with him. Why? Because his power is under control.
Amen.
His power is under control. Now you might question, what about Jesus' meekness in the temple when he drew everybody out, turned over the tables, and when he made a whip of cords and whipped people? What was his meekness? Jesus' disciple came and said, "Jesus, leave this area. Herod wants to kill you." And he said, "Go and tell that fox. Go and tell that fox. I am healing today and I will be healing tomorrow. And on the third day, I will be perfected." Now you might question, where is meekness in this? Now, pros, meekness is not keeping quiet, is not keeping silent. Jesus exactly knew when to get angry and when to keep quiet.
That's right.
When to shout, when to get angry, and when to just calm, stay quiet. I mean, he knew exactly what to do in what situations. He knew when to use whip, and he knew when to give the touch of life. That was his meekness. His authority, his strength was under control of God. No weakness at all. There is one more person in the Bible. I mean, Jesus said, "I am meek." And Moses was announced by God himself. God said, "Moses, my servant, is the meekest person on earth." The meekest person. Now, this meek person killed one. He murdered. He smote the rock twice. This meek person did so many things which meek will not do. But he did. Where was his meekness? Was it in the wonder works he did? Was it in the killing he did? All we remember about Moses is usually the miracles he did. But we always forget that in his time, he was one of the richest men. He was one of the most highly educated men. When Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was giving his testimony, he said, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds." I mean, he was a rich man, being adopted son of a princess. There was a bright future ahead of him. Bright future. But when he met God in the wilderness, God wanted to send him to go to Egypt and deliver his people from there. And Moses said, "No, I am not going." He gave two reasons. He said, "Who I am, that people will listen to me." And the second thing he said, "I am not fluent." Who am I? To my personal opinion, it's not a no. It's not a no. It's a realization of self incompetency. A highly educated person is meeting God for the first time, and his first reaction is exactly what Moses showed. I am nothing. I am nothing. I am not capable. That's his meekness. I mean, highly educated, the richest person says, I can't do it. And the Lord said, I will go with you. And then he went. Exodus chapter 32. The Bible says that God was going to destroy the entire nation. Entire nation. Because Moses was on the mountain receiving 10 commandments, and people made idol they were worshiping. And God said, Moses, I am going to destroy this nation, entire nation, and I'm going to restart with you. I'm going to restart with you, just you, one person. And he said, no. He pleaded. He said, please, forgive that nation. Forgive. And the Lord forgave. Forgave. Why he did it? Meek man. Because his strength is under control of God. I mean, this was the greatest chance anyone can have. Everybody is being destroyed, and he's just going to be the leader of the universe. I mean, the Lord is going to start restart everything with Moses. What an opportunity. But when you meek, you leave all your ambitions and all your desires aside, because your strength is under control.
Yeah, amen.
That's the meekness, what Jesus was talking about. One of the things you remember about Abraham, he's not called meek man in the Bible. But do you remember when Abraham's and Lot's servants, they fought? Abraham said, see, we are relations and we shouldn't be fighting. So let's decide. Abraham said, if you go left, I will go right. And if you go right, I will go left. I mean, Abraham was stronger than Lot. He could decide the best for him, but he didn't. Why he didn't? His strength is under control of his God. His strength is under control of his God. His meekness did not allow him to choose first. He could have done that, but he didn't do it. Meekness of David. He's also not called meek in the Bible. But there are several occasions where he proved that he was such a meek man. We know the story. Saul was running after David. He was hunting him everywhere. And if you know the story, you know that if David was caught by Saul, Saul would kill him. But there was two times when Saul was caught by David. He was in the hand of David. And you know what David's servant said? His servant said, this is what the Lord has promised, that he will bring your enemy in your hand. So then you can do to them what you please. And he said, no. And second time, when Saul was in his hands, he had the authority, he had the strength to kill him. Abishai, one of his friends, said, let me strike your enemy, for the Lord has handed him over to you. That was the time David could kill Saul in just one strike. But he said, no, God forbid that I harm the Lord's anointed. And he said, who can harm the Lord's anointed and remain guiltless? Why he saved Saul, his worst enemy. He's a meek man. His strength is under God's control. Joseph, the most famous story. Here are the people, a line in front of him, who ruined his life. Because of those 10 people, he had to leave his family, he had to leave his father, he had to leave his brother, he had to leave his home, he had to leave his religion, country. He went to live in a strange land because of these people. Now, if I was there, if I was Joseph, I would tell myself, now it's the time. Now this is the time. Now, the Lord has brought these people to me so that I can repay. I'm glad I was not Joseph. He said, don't be grieved and don't be angry at yourself that you sold me. He said, for God sent me before you to preserve lives. God sent me. He said, don't blame yourself. The lost, the disciples, the meekness of disciples. Now, do you remember the Last Supper? The Last Supper. Jesus is sitting and having his Last Supper with his disciples. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 21. It says, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And verse number 22 says, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Now everybody knew about Judas. If those 12 were people like you and me, everybody will look at Judas. Nobody looked at everybody else. Everybody looked at himself. I mean, one of Jesus' disciples, you should remember, his name was Simon Zealot. He always carried a knife in his pocket. Somebody could have said, maybe he's going to betray Jesus. And everybody knew that Judas Iscariot is stealing money from the money bag. Everybody could just look at him and say, maybe he's the man. No one did that. Everybody was pointing at himself. Is it I? Is it I? It's very easy to point at somebody else, but it's very hard. It takes huge amount of meekness to say, is it I?
That's really good.
Is it I? The meekness. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Application. Number one, after hearing all this, let us question ourselves. Is my strength under his control? Is my strength under his control? Well, you might say, I don't have any strength. If you don't have any strength, you cannot become meek. Because meekness is bringing strength under God's control. Everybody has a strength. Everybody. You tell me a meek person, a weak person, physically, emotionally, weak person. And I will tell you how he disagrees with something he doesn't like. Our strength has to be under his control. Number two, am I sensitive to the touch and whisper of my master? That's the biggest thing, part of the training. Biggest thing we need to learn. God doesn't shout at people. Have you ever read in your Bible, God shouts? God doesn't shout. I know this for sure because Jesus didn't shout. He came to show us the Father and he didn't shout. So because Jesus didn't shout, I know God doesn't shout. But God does whisper. He does whisper. And I believe this is the reason why he said, go. Go your home. Lock your door. And talk to me there. I will talk to you there in secret. I will whisper in your ear. In the book of Isaiah, it says, when you walk, you will hear a whisper. Turn to your right. This is the way. Turn to left. This is the way. The Lord whispers.
Yeah, that's good.
Being a meek, we are to be sensitive to his whisper and his touch. The last one. Do I run towards the battle or I run away from the battle? This is the last part of the training of somebody who's pros, a meek horse. They don't run away from the battle. Do you know that horses, they don't run away from the battle? Only it's the human who run away from the battle. It's the human. The horses, they stay there. If they run, their riders will make them run, not by themselves, because they are trained to stay in the cannon fire. They will run to the thunder, but they will stop at a whisper. Now, there's sometimes in our lives when we face the battle, we like to just stay away. Stay away. In times like the first century Christians had, they were all the time in the battle. Against the devil, against the authorities. But they didn't run away. They always stayed in the battle.
Yeah.
They always stayed there. Maybe this is the time of battle.
Yeah.
I believe this is the time of battle. It's testing time for you and me. Are we running away or are we running towards it? In his strength, in his power, in his wisdom, in his guidance. It is time for us to understand the true meaning of meekness. True meekness is not keeping quiet. It is not doing what everybody else is doing. I just received a book today. I ordered online from John Lennox. He's one of the Christian scientists. And in his introduction, he says, a Christian has to prove his authenticity by brilliantly and willingly running, swimming against the stream. Well, sometimes, I should say every time, you have to swim against the stream. You're preaching world upside down,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what the life of a meek person is. And the Lord has called us for this, not to do what everybody is doing, but always remember that when the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and he is preparing each one of us for that meekness. God bless you.
Wow, praise the Lord. That was just powerful, Pastor Farouk. Thank you so much. And I just want to say, I took 2 pages of notes in that, and I remember that. So I am deathly allergic to horses. But my sister and my mother love horses, and they raised them when I was a young person. And I remember them doing some of the training with the horses where they would go out there actually and they would rustle things and bang cans and try to make noise to see if they could get the horse to spook. Because horses naturally, when they hear loud noises, will run away. They're flight animals. They run away. But when you put enough training in, you can get them so that, like, yeah, the horse is in battle. They're sensitive to just those subtle touches. You can just drive them with your legs. If you've got a well-trained horse, you just drive them with your legs. Wow, that's so powerful. Praise God. That would be us as Christians, amen? Not afraid of all the noise, not distracted by all the scary things that are going on, just sensitive to whatever the Lord's leading us to do. That's good. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer here together. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for this powerful message. Thank you for Pastor Farouk and his diligence to bring that word to us. God, we pray that you would help us to be meek. God, we always ask that you would make us like you. And Lord, you were the one that said of yourself that you were meek and lowly in heart. We're so grateful that that's the way that you are. Lord, make us like you. God, make us sensitive to your leading, that all that you need to do is just give us the quietest whisper, the gentlest touch, and that we would respond to you and follow wherever you lead. God, I pray that you'd bless everyone that's listened tonight, that you would meet needs of your people, give us encouragement, hope, and courage. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.